This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. Mole by Jane Jago. The mole groaned and farted and belched noxious fumes as its diamond-edged teeth ground their way slowly through the sandy subsoil. As it dug, a series of precisely placed nozzles sprayed a sticky mixture of polymers and ground rock onto the walls of the freshly made tunnel, stabilizing it an inch at a time. As the monster inched its way forward, a rattling, clanging conveyor belt shot surplus material into a closely following fleet of lorries. Up high, in what would have been the head of the mole, was a living animal. A strangely conformed man plied the controls with the virtuosity of a maestro. He was thick-necked and heavy-chested, with almost unnaturally long, muscular arms. His legs, on the other hand, were thin and twisted, and would certainly not support his weight should he need to walk anywhere. But he never walked. He never left the mole. He was driver, symbiotically linked to the great metal digging machine, and as incapable of living outside the confines of the behemoth as it was incapable of functioning without him. They were the most successful of the dozen experiments in symbiosis that had been carried out a decade previously, and were the only partnership left in existence. If that partnership caused ethical worries in some quarters, those voices were soon hushed by those who appreciated the profitability of the gigantic earth mover. As the present digging conditions were easy, Driver and Mole were entertaining themselves by playing chess. This would very probably have been frowned on by their masters, but neither man nor machine ever saw fit to mention it. Nor did they mention the musical evenings or the books they read together. Some things, they reasoned, were just nobody's business but their own. For most of the morning, progress continued to be excellent, and the giant machine chewed its way through the earth at a comfortable 5 miles an hour, whilst beating its operator at chess for the nth time in their partnership. Right about lunchtime, things changed. Driver was shoveling a doorstep of bread and cheese between his busy teeth when the note from the engines changed and the mole slowed. The driver picked up his communicator.
"Rocks," he grunted. "Speed cut by 4/5.
He cut off the protesting squawk from 5 miles above his head and carried on with his sandwich. When he had finished his lunch, he toggled his communicator.
"It's rock. Hard rock. Ain't a thing anybody can do. Just send the water browsers. We need to cool the cutters."
"There's no rock down there."
The driver sighed and switched on the powerful lights that formed the mole's eyes.
"Video on," he said grumpily.
The watchers in the office on the surface were treated to a view of the mole's teeth biting into a solid rock face.
Okay, water browsers ordered."
"Good."
Some 5 hours later, as Driver was considering his options for supper, the engine note changed again. He toggled his communicator.
"We're through. Speed increased to 2 miles per hour. Putting mole on auto. Signing out for the night."
He didn't wait for a reply, shutting communications down and swinging to the floor. As his stomach started to rumble, he heard a knock on Mole's metallic outer skin far below him. He opened the door and stuck his head out. Down at ground level, he could see a foreshortened figure standing on the bottom step of the ladder that led to his cabin. He whistled. The figure looked up, and he recognized the homely features of his own brother.
Do what, bro?
Nothing. I got a pot of Mom's rabbit stew for you. Chuck down the rope.
Driver grinned toothily and dropped a thick rope with a hook on the end. His brother ducked and then attached a large bucket to the hook before stepping back. Driver flicked a switch and a small motor purred into life, gently hauling the rope and its savory burden up the 50 feet to the cab door. When the bucket reached his feet, he lifted it gently. Ma's rabbit stew wasn't to be treated with contempt. His brother gave him a thumbs up and stepped away from the rumbling, grumbling monster. Driver went arm over arm to his cramped living quarters and tenderly removed the lid from the big enamel pail. It contained several carefully packed items. First, there was a brown crock of butter and a loaf of soft, fresh bread. Then he lifted out a heroically sized hunk of fruitcake and a pot of clotted cream. The bottom of the bucket yielded a lidded dish of thick, savory stew and a letter in his mother's careful printing. He inhaled a lungful of savory steam and reached for a spoon. After about half the bowl, he leaned back in his chair and gave a replete sigh.
"Ma," he said reverently, "I love ya."
A deeply feminine and richly amused contralto voice, which seemed to emanate from the very air around him, chuckled appreciatively before speaking.
"What's it worth to not tell Ma you only love her when your belly is full?"
"She knows already, Mole. You can't never pull the wool over Ma's eyes."
The laughter in the ether went on for quite some time, and it cheered Driver as he went about clearing up after himself and storing the bounty from the bucket.
"And now," he said contentedly, "we got a letter from Ma to read. Will I read it aloud, or will you read over me shoulder?"
Driver could all but hear Maul thinking,
"Read aloud, please."
And that was how they spent the evening, a misshapen man and an artificial intelligence enjoying each other's company as they read the homely tidings from the woman they both called Ma. Meanwhile, in an office in uptown New York, six men were deep in discussion about the mole's next assignment.
"The sea tunnel is ahead of schedule. As long as the team on the ground can keep the local workforce from interfering with the mole, our success bonus is in the bag."
"No problems, then."
"I didn't say that."
"What, then?"
"Religious fundamentalists digging at the partnership, preaching the sins of symbiosis. Again, went after Driver's family, who stonewalled. But it might prove politic to remove the mole from these shores for a while."
"Is there a job offer?"
"Several, but the big payer would be the 1,000-mile railway tunnel in Russia."
"Feasible?"
"Yes."
"What about the language barrier?"
"For the mole partnership, there is none. It has simultaneous translation and built."
"Very well, then."
Which is why, 3 months later, Mole and Driver were on a flatbed freight transport, which was carefully traversing the country on the Trans-Siberian Railway. Once they were sure nobody was listening, Mole spoke.
"You cold, Driver?"
"No, I'm fine. You all keeping the temperature just about perfect. You want to read a book?"
"Please, what do we have?"
Driver laughed.
"Anna Kerrigan? I thought it would be appropriate."
The trip across the frozen plains was wearisome, to put it mildly, and the mole partnership could perfectly well understand the reasons for wanting a nice, safe tunnel under the permafrost. Their only concern was maps, or to be more precise, the lack of maps. The cartography of the region seemed to be sadly lacking, and they spent hours accessing anything they could find on the World Wide Web. By the time they reached the shores of the ocean, they were as prepared as they could possibly be. A small reception committee awaited, and its members watched suspiciously as the mole unloaded itself from the flatbed. The five hard-faced men marched over to the dinged and dented side of the earth mover and stood in silence, awaiting who knew what.
"I think they want to come in," Mole suggested.
"Not happening. I ain't having hard men with shooters in here. Let me think."
After some moments of cogitation, he snarled.
"I reckon them bastards think they can wait us out."
"What a novel idea. In which case?"
"Precisely. Let's play a game, shall we?"
2 hours later, the reception committee was still milling around, and Mole had won 2 games of chess. Driver decided it was time to be proactive and toggled his communicator. He had a brief conversation with somebody in New York, then sat back, grinning.
"What did they say?"
"You mean you didn't listen?"
"No, I do have some manners."
Driver grinned appreciatively.
"Yes, ma'am. Well, they said to sit tight. They are sending somebody."
It took several hours, but eventually a long black limousine slid into position alongside the mole. 2 enormously muscular and obviously gun-toting thugs, dressed from head to toe in black, jumped out and opened one of the rear doors. An expensively tailored and hugely fat man stepped onto the tarmac. He stood on surprisingly tiny feet, regarding the world through 2 inimical black eyes, barely visible between rolls of fat. The members of the reception committee all looked as if their worst nightmare had just come true and cast down their eyes. The fat man said 2 words, and they all suddenly found somewhere else they needed to be. He turned to the mole and bowed his head twice before getting back into the car. One of his guards came to the bottom of the ladder and looked up. Driver opened the door, and the thuggish man began to climb. He reached the cabin in record time, and he was barely breathing heavily at all. Driver was impressed and snapped a salute. To his surprise, the Russian grinned tautly before handing him an envelope.
"Хорошего дня."
The man started back down the ladder.
"Good day to you too,"
Driver called. Shutting the door, Driver slid the envelope with his thumbnail. He removed the 3 sheets of paper and fed them one by one into a slot amongst the bank of dials and buttons that fronted his work seat. There was silence for a moment, then Mole spoke.
"Better. Our backup crew will be here tomorrow morning, and then we can start digging. But still, no maps."
"Fine. We'll do without. Now, who was the top in the limo?"
Mole laughed.
"To be honest, I don't know. But the reaction of that reception committee said FSB to me."
"Me too. I'll be bloody glad to get back underground and out of the reach of politics."
"One is never out of the reach of politics."
Mole chuckled, and Driver joined in, and then he sobered.
"And now, how about whatever it is you have carefully avoided telling me?"
Mole sighed.
"It seems that the reason we can't find any maps is what might be hidden under the ground here."
"Things like?"
"Mass graves, stores of weapons, bunkers. Nobody knows."
"So?"
"So, the deal appears to be that whatever we come across, we just tunnel right through it and say nothing."
Driver shrugged his heavy-set shoulders.
Shouldn't be too difficult. I'm more concerned about 6 months, at least, without any of Ma's rabbit stew.
You really didn't look at what you stored in the freezers, did you?
No. Why? You aren't telling me there's stew?
Mole's voice was both patient and long-suffering.
I am.
Driver did his happy dance. He might have been less happy if he had heard the conversation in a windowless room 1,000 miles to the south and east of him. Two men were discussing the mole, while a third was paring his fingernails with a flick knife. The youngest man was speaking in the arrogant tones of one who was used to getting his own way.
I need the digging machine. With that under my hand, our profits will soar. All the bank vaults and deep cellars will be a piece of cake.
The man who sat across the table from him was thin, precise, and perfectly tailored. He had accountant written all over him.
If the capo agrees, you shall have it, but it digs the railway tunnel first.
Very well, he will agree, and for now, I'm going to put a man on board to learn how it works.
The third man laughed, a short, unamused bark.
How do you propose to do that, then?
We just tell the operator.
From what my spies tell me, you can say what you like, but nobody gets inside that machine.
The driver will have to come out sometime, and then we will teach him his manners.
A thrown knife landed neatly between his fingers, and he stared down at it for a long moment before moving his hand.
What was that for?
Stupidity, laziness, complacence. You decide. That machine dug the tunnel under the Arctic Circle. It was underground for 9 months. In all that time, the driver never left his cab. The man is linked to his machine. It is the only living symbiotic partnership. If we want that machine, we will have to make the man ours as well.
Symbiotic? What nonsense is that?
This time, his short-tempered colleague reached across the table and lifted him out of the chair with one careless hand.
You, my friend, had better stop reacting like the spoiled brat we all know you are. Your uncle will not always be in charge, and it behooves you to remember that. You will make no move towards the digging machine until the Trans-Siberian Tunnel is dug. Do I make myself clear?
Unable to speak, the younger man nodded.
Good. Now go away. I find your face offends me.
The young man scuttled off, leaving his accountant to stare at his confederate in some perplexity. He'll only run straight back to his uncle.
Won't matter if he does. The old man retired this morning.
Retired?
The big man laughed again, this time in genuine amusement.
Dead men can't be capo. As for the digging machine, we do indeed want it, and I suspect we will have to kill its driver to get it. But I want it above ground, and with the tunnel dug before we make any such attempt.
He got up to leave. At the door, he turned.
And don't get any silly ideas. I have very big ears.
The accountant shrugged, then grinned.
I'm in this for the money, not lumps.
The next morning, a precision of lorries and water bowsers and dumper trucks and small digging machines followed the mole as it made its stately way to the map reference at which it was to begin digging. There was a hastily convened reception committee, also a brass band and a crowd of schoolchildren happily waving flags. The diggers waited politely
as a fat man with a white beard made a long and rambling speech before a woman of immense pulchritude cut a white ribbon that had been strung across the hillside. With immaculate timing and an inbuilt sense of occasion, the mole moved into position and tooted its massive air horns before beginning to cut its way into the earth with almost breathtaking speed. In fact, such was its dispatch that two huge earth-moving lorries only just managed to get themselves into position as the conveyor belts began spewing earth and rock. In a remarkably short space of time, the mole had disappeared, and the watching humanity had very little choice but to return to its places of work. There was a distinct sense of anticlimax, and the ribbon cutter even went so far as to remark on the boringness of the occasion. Her white-haired, gentleman friend patted her on the thigh and pacified her with a piece of rather fine jewelry purloined from his wife's safety deposit box. Inside the mole, there was quiet, and Driver allowed himself a moment of relaxation.
You okay, Driver?
Em, but I have a worry. I don't like this country. I think we have to be even more careful than usual.
He could feel Mole thinking. It took a longish while.
What do you think they want?
You.
Us?
No, you.
But I do not function without you. We are as one.
We are. However, they are unlikely to understand or believe that. So we need to be very, very careful.
Mole's voice, when it came, was adamantine.
We are one. We will not be parted. We will be careful.
Yeah, yeah, we will. But don't fret about it. We are strong together.
He thought he heard a whisper at the back of his mind.
Together.
For 2 weeks, the digging went smoothly, and the tunnel progressed apace. There were a couple of occasions when Driver thought there may have been people sneaking around the mole, but the digging machine was capable of protecting itself without his say-so, and he kept quiet. The matter of such protection was never discussed again, but Driver knew Mole hadn't forgotten the conversation, and he did wonder how his partner would react if there was a more frontal attack. The next move came quite late one evening, and he was heralded by a respectful tap on the mole's superstructure. Driver stuck his head out of the window and looked down on two figures in the back of a small jeep-like vehicle, which kept pace with the mole's stately 4 miles per hour.
Yes?
Comforts for a lonely man.
What sort of comforts?
The man who had been speaking pulled the coat off the shoulders of the person beside him, revealing a full-breasted figure in clinging draperies. Driver could feel the waves of indignation emanating from his partner, and he grunted.
Oh, I never ordered no whore.
All paid for, the gentleman gloated. A present from the railroad company.
Well, you better make use of her yourself. I have no need.
Driver pulled his head in and slammed the window. He could hear Mole fulminating and grinned inwardly.
Hush, Mole, he said quietly. You ought to have more faith in me than that. Let's just say what our visitors do next.
It was actually anticlimactic, as, after a very few moments, the vehicle stopped keeping station with the mole and returned to the following convoy.
I suppose I should have expected that,
Driver mused. Mole's voice was very small when it finally spoke.
If it wasn't for me.
If it wasn't for you, what?
If it wasn't for me, Would you have had that woman up here?
No, I wouldn't. Never wanted paid love.
Is it love if it's bought?
Mole sounded genuinely curious.
No, of course it ain't. But it's the only kind I can ever expect looking like I do.
Mole said nothing, but Driver could feel the puzzlement.
My legs,
he said matter-of-factly.
They're deformed, you know, but I don't want to talk about it. Let's play Scrabble.
They played 4 games, and Driver won the first 3. He suspected that he had been allowed to win, but was wise enough to say nothing. It seemed for a while as if the prostitute was the last throw of the dice from the seemingly inept conspirators, and the mole worked on in comparative peace for several days. It was about a week later, and fully night, when Driver was awoken by Mole's urgent whispers.
Somebody's climbing me.
Where?
Underneath, left-hand side, just past the polymer guns.
Okay. Give me ears outside, will you?
The mole complied, and Driver could hear heavy breathing and vague metallic noises. He snarled.
Let's give our passengers a little tickle, shall we?
Tickle?
Yes. Electrify your outer skin. Let's see if our climbers can cope with that.
If machines were able to grin, the mole would have shown its teeth as it pumped power into its skin. There came a faint scream and a thump as a body fell on the conveyor belt among the soil and rocks. Driver switched to the rear infrared cameras and watched as a smallish, stocky figure scrambled off the belt and ran as fast as its legs could carry it.
They ain't giving up, are they?
He mused.
I'll fry the next one,
Mole fumed.
You are not supposed to be able to feel anger,
Driver commented dryly.
I'm not supposed to be able to feel anything. Now just go back to sleep. I've got this covered.
Driver rolled himself back into his bunk, grinning wryly, and hoped that his partner wouldn't actually kill anyone. After that little episode, things really did settle down, and the digging continued apace for some 6 weeks or so. Progress wasn't particularly swift, as the soil was so cold that it could easily have broken the mole's digging teeth if sufficient care wasn't taken. Driver was beginning to calculate how long it would be until the mole was out of the permafrost when they hit rock. Water on the cutting teeth would be in danger of freezing, so he ordered up oil bowsers to cool and lubricate the diamond-edged cutting teeth as progress slowed to a crawl. Driver toggled his communicator.
Rock, speed reduced to 1 kilometer per hour.
He ignored the squawk from the surface and shut down communications.
Steady, my lovely,
he murmured.
Take your time. There's no hurry.
The mole grunted, and Driver heard the engine note slow slightly as his advice went home. After 3 days of depressingly slow progress, they broke through the rock. Driver immediately got the feeling of space where there should have been earth and rock. Instinct prompted him to switch off the cameras and snarl a malfunction message to his communicator. Then he gasped as his windowed cab emerged into an enormous cavern.
What have we here?
Mole turned its shining eyes and spotlighted the contents of the cave. Driver sucked in a breath through his overlarge teeth.
Sheesh, Mole. It's a friggin' arsenal.
He looked around the walls and decided that the cradles held too many bombs to count.
Nukes?
Oh, yes.
Even Mole contrived to sound shocked.
All nukes and all armed, ready to go.
Driver ignored the squawking in his headset.
And what do you suppose we do now?
insufficient information.
Hush, Mole. I'm thinking. We have a decision to make, and precious little time to make it.
He turned off the headlights and toggled his communicator.
System malfunction. I effing told you. Now wait.
He snarled before shutting off the voices from above.
What must we do?
I don't know, Mole. But I do know I'm a dead man walking. Once they know what I've seen, it's only a matter of time.
There was a silence for a long moment before Mole spoke again.
Are you sure they will kill you?
It was in an entirely different voice from her usually briskly amused commentary on life. This was the tone a woman would use to her lover, soft and gentle, and cadenced with an almost heartbreaking tenderness. For a moment, Driver could not reply, and when he did, his answer held as great a depth of emotion.
I am.
Shall we die together then, my darling?
Driver nodded. The multi-megaton explosion deafened everyone within a 10-mile radius, and the mushroom cloud could be seen halfway across the world. Enter the mind of the most dangerous old-age pensioner in the Northern Hemisphere, if you dare. Jane Jago is a mad genre hopper who writes for fun and hopes people get as much enjoyment out of reading as she does from writing. She is overweight, overly naughty, and overly cynical. If you enjoyed this story, you can check out her publication, Pulling the Rug 2, a sideways look at life in short fiction and verse. Link in the show notes. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you like the story, I post new ones every Monday and Friday. And if you're an author who has a story that the world just absolutely must hear, you can find me at talltaletv.com. I'm Chris Herron, and that's it for today's Tall Tale TV.